Hey there guys, DJ Studio Man here, and before this episode starts, I just wanted to say a quick apology because our guest's audio this week got kind of borked. I did the best I can with it, but you know what they say about polishing a turd. Regardless, if you can look past it, I think this episode is great, and there's some important messages in there I think that are really good, so we decided to keep it. So again, apologies, and enjoy the episode.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Dr. Dex podcast. I have a very special guest this week, somebody I admire and respect highly in our industry. His name is Garrett Davis, but I know him as Bub, and his handle is The Life of Bub, at The Life of Bub. And Garrett, I know you, but I don't. But I feel after the last trade show we just both attended, I know you so much better than I ever have. And I want to get into all that, but I really want to start about your backstory. That's usually what I do with my guests is I kind of get an idea. And you're welcome to go back to birth if you want. Anything that you want to say or have, this episode is all about you and our interaction together. So... Tell me a little bit. You're currently in Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you said you're just swimming?
Yeah.
That is so not fair. Because I'm cold right now.
Yeah, dude, you look cold. I was going to say.
Yeah, man. It's like 45 degrees out. And you sit idle. And for some reason, the location that we chose to shoot this, it's dry, but it's like a wind chamber. So everything's blowing, coming up off the Puget Sound and freezing, icing us out every time we do this. So I know we look warm, but it's not exactly pleasant. Is it, Cal?
No.
All right, enough about that. But so Garrett, yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself and then let's get into it.
Well, I grew up in way up in northern Maine. In a town called Dover Foxcroft.
Okay. Never heard of it.
Not many people have. there's about two stoplights in the whole entire town. I lived there till I was about, I think 10 maybe. Mm-hmm. And then moved to central Maine. And that's okay. Where I graduated high school. And Mainer my whole life, man. I escaped a couple times throughout my early adulthood and tried some different places, but always ended up back in Maine. So
what was grade school like for you? That was in Foxtrot?
In Foxtrot, yeah.
Okay.
Grade
Train.
School for me.
I don't know if you guys can hear that.
I hear it.
Sorry. This is a job site, man. This is what makes our podcast so real. It's just like things you can't avoid.
I can't hear the wind though, so that's cool.
Oh, great. I can describe it to you. It's cold. It feels bad on my face. Oh, I'm just playing, man. It's not that bad. Hey, it's not raining. It wasn't like Tuesday. Tuesday was apocalyptically terrible. Like if you're a firm believer in climate change, Tuesday would have been a clincher for anybody that's on that climate change train.
It's always rainy though, right?
Don't move here because it's always raining. Just don't become my competition. Don't do that, right? Okay, so elementary school, you're in that one town, and then what was junior high and high school like for you? Were you into sports or academics or neither?
So
rock and roll. What?
Elementary, I started skateboarding when I was like 7.
Okay.
And skateboarding was a big part of my life from about age 7 till 25.
Cool.
I didn't do sports, but I was really good at skating. I was sponsored by some companies.
No kidding. Well, who were you sponsored by?
I had like flow sponsors. So like my local shop that I was sponsored by, which was Ride 207, they would like get me hooked up with companies and they would just send me like free stuff. It was cool.
That is cool. Especially at a young age get a taste of sponsorship. When you're a teenager, it's kind of a cool thing. I wish I could have maybe figured something out, but nobody has given anybody anything for eating back then. So, I wasn't really, I don't know what else they could have sponsored me for. Maybe weightlifting. I was pretty good at that, but in high school.
My mother was definitely psyched about it too, because we didn't have to pay for much breaking skateboards.
So skateboard, like, up, you, so. How often were you breaking a skateboard?
It would all depend on the week and what I was
right.
doing.
Right, but if you're, you know, if you're going hard, if you're going hardcore, yeah, you're in, yeah, competitions.
Probably once a week, man. Yeah.
You're breaking a board a week.
Yeah, at least.
And then you're swapping out the truck. Are you keeping the trucks and the wheels, or are you getting a whole new set?
No, keeping the trucks and the wheels. Just replacing the deck.
How often were you, like, pulling bearings and things like that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know. I rode bones, bearings, and they were awesome. I don't know. I feel like maybe every few setups I would change out bearings, maybe, or something like that.
Did you ever longboard?
No, I didn't really get into longboard.
No?
No.
Huh. The Calvin got me into longboarding for a minute, and that was kind of fun. I really enjoyed it until I flopped. I was doing about 30 miles an hour, and I couldn't slow down, and I face forward, no pads, asphalt in the palms of my hands, man. It was gnarly.
Were you bombing a hill or something?
Yeah, I was just goofing off and just went way out of control, and you could hear the people behind me that were walking, and I cruised right past them. I was going to crash into a car, and I started getting the wobbles, and then face forward, didn't do a roll. None of my kung fu training when I was younger came into effect. I just palms out, man, and just... Oh, wait, where's this camera? Right there, man. I had asphalt granules in my palms.
Yeah, embedded.
The kid that took us, he was smart. He wore welding gloves. I was like, man, I wish I would have had some welding gloves because that would have saved my hands. Remember that?
Experience, right?
I remember.
Yeah, Point Defiance, man. 5 mile drive. Anyway, so you're skate. Because the reason I ask is I bought, like, Calvin and I and my wife, we used to go to these beach towns for like a, you know, take the RV and go down to Cannon Beach or whatever. And we got into longboarding. And then they had these slider wheels that they sold. So I bought a set thinking, man, I'm going to get some of these sliding wheels and, like, learn how to twist my skateboard while I'm skateboarding. And that never happened. I was wondering if you ever did that.
No.
That wasn't a thing. So what are you just, like, finding empty swimming pools and stuff and, like, riding those or what?
I was more of like a street skater, so like stair sets and handrails and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I was like jumping off buildings and crap like that.
Oh, fun. So like anytime you fail, you get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
How many, did you break any bones or anything?
Yeah, I broke my foot twice in the same place, and I've sprained both my ankles probably over 20 times. But other than that, that's about it, man. All sprains and two breaks.
Do you think that has impacted you at all as you're older?
Absolutely.
Totally. Oh, dude. Okay, so that's really great information, like, for all those aspiring skaters and whatnot. Like, take care of your body, because, dude, that's vicious.
Yeah, man. I mean, 20 years of skateboarding and then now 20 years in construction, my body is absolutely abused, and I'm only 38.
Yeah, man, I get it. I'm much older than you, and most of my injuries, actually, I broke my leg when I was young with a spiral break. That was gnarly.
Oh,
and then
gross.
I broke my foot playing baseball once and when I was all in grade school, and then didn't really start injuring myself major until later in my career, and man, I pulled some doozies. But anyway... Cool. Okay, so you're skateboarding, you're in high school, so you're skateboarding during high school, and you're kind of getting some sponsorships here and there, and then how long did you take that? Were you still skateboarding out of high school?
Yeah, I skated like hard until I was like 25.
Okay.
And then by that time, I was in the trades more, working, needed to make money. If I get hurt, I can't work type deal. Ooh. So I kind of put skating on the back burner around 25.
So once you got out of high school, you're around 18 years old.
Yep.
What was next for Bub?
So I got out of high school and I took a year off to just flower into the world. And I was skating. I was... working for a pizza delivery place.
Hey, you can't really knock that though. That can make, you can make good money doing that, can't you?
Dude, I did. I worked for Domino's and I made bank as a delivery driver with Domino's.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Especially like how many years, 20, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was 2005.
20 years ago.
Yep.
So you're making good money delivering pizza. I would never knock that job, because then sometimes you might get you hit the right person and they might just toss you 20.
No, for sure.
You know, hey, thanks, man.
Fridays and Saturdays, man, like you would like get the people that were partying it up ordering Domino's, and they would tip you very well.
Wow, that's rad. How long did you do that for?
For like a year, and then I tried college when I was still 18. Yeah, I was still 18. And college just, you know, wasn't for me, man. School was hard for me my whole life. I just graduated high school type deal. You know, by the
skin.
By the skin. Like I had to get a 70 on my algebra final to graduate, and I think I got a 72. Like
you're pulling a 2.0, a solid 2.0 to get out. You got the certificate, right?
That's
the
right, diploma. That's right. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's okay. So, you have a high school equivalent. I about the same. I had a little bit higher GPA, but not enough to get in the University of Washington. I think back in 1987 is when I graduated, and you had to have a 3.8 average to get into UW. Like, you basically had to be a straight A student. And, like, you know, and they didn't like the fact I had 3 weight training classes. You know, I was getting A's in all those, but history and algebra and all that crap, I wasn't, you know, wasn't pulling A's in. So,
yeah.
Anyway, okay, cool. So then you do the pizza delivery. You went to college for a little bit, and then what?
I stopped going to college, and that's kind of when I got my first taste of working with my hands. My uncle gave me he was a builder he did his building, and then he had all in-house landscaping. So he did the site work, he built the house, he did the hardscape, the plantings, he'd kind of all in-house type deal.
Nice.
So I got a taste of like all of that, all at once, working for him. Mm-hmm. And, that was around after that is when I did my first geographical change. Cause in the mix of this, I mean, we don't need to talk too much into depth, but in the mix of this, I'm kind of, you know, starting to drink a lot and experiments with drugs, and getting to really like that stuff. So, I find myself always trying to run away from me as throughout my whole 20s. I'm like trying to get away from Garrett, but Garrett's always there when I go to someplace new type deal. So I tried my first time leaving then because I got into some trouble. I had ended up moving into an apartment with this cat that I knew. He had a roommate. The roommate, him, got in a fight. Roommate moved out. And he's like, hey, man, I got like a month left on my lease. Like, why don't you move in? And I was 18, still living at home. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, go have a party apartment with my buddy, sure. So I did that, and we ended up, you know, I was only 18, so I was still hanging out with girls that were not 18 because I was only 18.
Sure.
And we had this raging party, and the cops busted it, and he was going into the Navy, and I was just a skate rat, and they pinned the whole thing on me. All of the minor counts of underage drinking, like the whole deal got pinned on me. So I got into some serious trouble. I had to
hold on. We have a bonus feature that we're going to put on our Patreon channel, and I don't want you to go any further into this right now.
All right,
no freebies here. So if you subscribe, we have three subscribers to our Patreon so far. So those three people will get to hear the ending of that. Okay. But we'll cut it there because if people really want to know, then we want you to get involved in our Patreon channel.
Okay. So anyway,
if you're cool with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, so you move.
so I moved, and I was gonna try to go to Florida. That was my first trying to go to Florida. But my dad lived in Virginia, and he was like, come here, I'm going to buy a flip house. My dad was like a super white collar guy in the corporate world, but then he retired early, and he was like, I'm going to buy some flip houses and kind of learn carpentry. So I went down to Virginia and started working with my dad. And that's when I got more involved, like doing trim carpentry and becoming the carpenter, you know, becoming a carpenter.
Okay. So hold on. You keep raising your hands and I see all this ink.
Yeah.
So when did you get your first tattoo?
I got my first tattoo here in Denver, Colorado, in a blackout from alcohol. And I was 23 years old.
Okay. So yeah. There was a few years in there that we've skipped around a little bit, but that's okay.
That's okay.
And I just had to ask because it's interesting. Because it looks like it looks to me, I mean, it could just be me, but it looks to me like one wasn't quite enough. I've got a few tattoos, you know. Yeah. I mean, I just haven't gone full sleeves yet, but doesn't mean I'm not going to. I just, you know, we all attain those at certain levels and rates of speed, you know.
Totally. I worked on this arm. This kind of got all pieced together in my 20s, and then I started this sleeve, which is the Maine woods. It starts with the mountains to a river down into a marsh and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Pretty detailed. So I got that. I started that when I was like 29, and then I actually finished it when I got sober in my 30s. So
killer.
I did these.
We're going to talk about that journey as well. Yeah. Mostly maybe in our bonus section, but, so you kind of, so your next, you landed at your next destination with your dad.
Yep.
And you started doing some flip houses and stuff like that?
Yeah, he bought this big old like French turret house, and we basically gutted the whole thing and remodeled it. He ended up moving into it because he liked it so much.
Oh, wow. That kills a profit margin, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. We did that. And then in between all that, I ended up back in Maine. A girl came into my life. And,
okay.
We moved in together. I was like, all right, I'm going to try to go back to school. And I tried again for a few months, and then it wasn't right, you know, again.
How old are you at this point?
I am now like 19 or 20. I think I'm 20.
You're still young. All right.
Yeah, I'm still young. Yeah.
So you moved back, you moved to Maine, tried to go back to school, didn't work out. So what'd you do then?
I ended up working full time for my uncle at that point.
Your uncle. Okay.
Yeah.
And then how long were, okay. Like now explain from that process, like how you're evolving. Or what was next?
It was kind of when the market tanked. But luckily my uncle had, done well prior with all of his subdevelopments, and he had cash. So he was taking advantage of it, buying up homes, and we were doing flip houses, and we were doing a lot of hardscaping. So I was running, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I actually did masonry for a while, and I was running excavators and skid steers and dump trucks and doing carpentry on top of that. I was kind of an all around
I feel that guys that have a set of hydraulic skills, I'll call it. Because I own a forklift and a bobcat and a mini skid steer, and I have implements to do helical piles and all that. I feel that people that take the time and invest in their skill set like that, man, that's just like a trait that you have that like can help take you other places if somebody really needed an operator for a big machinery. Those guys seem to get paid fairly well to do their skill, you know, and
for sure.
And that's always a cool thing to possess. I don't think I'll ever not own some form of a hydraulic machine, even after I retire, just to play around on, you know?
I
always found it satisfying, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Sure.
Okay, yep. So, and that's interesting because the hardscaping, that kind of got you involved in exterior, like the outside of the home. You're probably doing a lot of paver patios and things like that.
Yeah, we were doing all the decks, obviously, and the paver patios, which was always my favorite part of any build, was working outside when it was nice in Maine and doing the decks and doing the pavers. So it was fun. And I got long arms, so I could lay pavers like a madman as long as I had someone feeding me.
Yeah, right? That's the problem, is bring it to me, and I'll lay it in. And you got two guys feeding one guy that's dropping them in, you know, and...
Yep.
Man, nowadays they have like a hydraulic attachments for bobcats where you can pick up the whole layer with one with a machine and drop a whole grid of pavers all at once. I'm like, wow, you can get like streets done that way, you know?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
For sure. Yep.
Cool. Okay, so now you're in your mid 20s?
Yeah, I'm in my mid 20s working for my uncle. Working for family that ended up backfiring. I think I was about, when did I meet? I think I was probably 20, 25 or 26 when that ended. And I moved back up to, I moved further north in Maine, and just kind of dubbed around, man. I was, again, I was a party animal. So yeah, I just moved up. I was living close to my brother-in-law and sister, and I was sleeping in one of their bedrooms on a lake, and it was like cool.
Oh, wow.
It was on a lake in Maine in the summertime, and kind of just doing odds and ends. I would like do some work with my brother-in-law who did a lot of commercial work. I'd pick up side jobs doing stonework, renovations, anything, just kind of dubbing off and making cash and partying my little tail off.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that was like my 25, 26, 27 till I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, I got a job for a company in Portland, Maine, when I was 20, I think I was 27. Yeah, I was 27. And, that was a great job. I had an awesome boss. He was a big mentor to me, for the couple of years I worked for him. But I just was finally like, dude, I've been doing this stuff for like 10 years, I think, at that point. And I'm like, I'm going to make more money if I just go off on my own. And I was very, I mean, I still am. I'm still an addict, right? But I was very like, I thought of something and it was like, that's all I could. I just was like, that was my focus. So that's what I was going to do. I'm like, I have no, I don't barely have any tools. I don't got, I got a pickup truck and no jobs lined up, but I'm going out on my own. And I did it, man. I just did it. I gave him my notice and I left. And that was when GW Davis began in Maine.
GW Davis.
Yep.
And what was your primary focus?
Basically
besides
everything.
Partying.
Yeah. Basically everything, man. I was just like a renovator, decks. Always was trying to do decks from the nice season, you know, the nice season in Maine, which was kind of short lived, but you know, from like April, May to October, November. That was kind of always my focus that I wanted to be outside doing those and then interior renovations in the wintertime to stay warm.
You had a skill set and you had confidence. You had the confidence to go in and do it. Like I can pretty much renovate. Have you ever built, you built a house, right?
Yeah, I've built several.
I watch you build. So you have this confidence to be able to build, you can remodel, you can do whatever. You just kind of had this epiphany or affliction for building decks, but you also have a skill set that's much broader than that, where I've never really dealt off the realm of deck building myself. I've always been a deck builder. That's all I ever did. That's all I'll probably ever do. And I don't really possess more of a broadened knowledge of like homes. So I always respect the guy. I'm like, why did you choose to build decks when you could actually be building entire homes? And I guess I kind of get it. Usually decks can be quicker cash, you know. You can pick up dough real quick if you have it all figured out. You're not tied to something for forever. Like a home, you know, you're what's could be 3, 6, 12 months, whatever, depending on permitting and product and delays in receiving things or your subs.
How big
or whatever.
It is.
Yeah.
You know how big the house is too. You just never know.
Yeah. So you start GW Davis, and that's in Maine?
That was in Maine. Yeah, I was 20. I think I was 28 years old when I was 28 when I started GW. It was actually GW Woodworks to begin, and then I was getting too many calls to build like cabinets and stuff because people thought I was just a woodworker, so I changed it to GW Davis Company.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when have you started your social media journey at this time?
I just started. When I started my own business is when I was kind of getting into it a couple years prior, but it was more just personal, you know, like couple pictures of the job site here and there. Like I think one of my first pictures on my Instagram is all the machinery at my uncle's shop, like in the picture, and a couple of pictures of hardscaping. But
do you know what year that was approximately? Or
yeah, it was like 2012 when I started my Instagram, and then I think of 2014 when I started my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like barely anybody, dude. I remember it was like Joe, Canadian carpenter. You were definitely on there. Toolpig was on there.
Toolholic.
There was like 20 of us. Maybe.
I gotta get these guys on the show. But yeah, that's why I asked, because I know we're getting close to where your social media journey started. A lot of the influencers and people that are on and anybody that's known well on the internet we all kind of did start in that 2012, 2011, 2012, 2013 phase, yep. and kind of went from there.
Yep.
So
yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that about me, that I've been on Instagram that long.
Right. Yeah. I, you know, that's why I'm asking, because it's always good to have a place of reference, you know? So, yep. okay. So now are you getting sober at this time, or are you still on that train?
So I was 28 when I started my business. I got sober when I was 30. My first 2 years in business, I was not sober, and it was not good.
I remember those days.
Yeah, it was not good.
I think I must have been following you from a fairly early start, because I remember some of your posts and some of the struggles you were going through, and you were very candid about it. And I was like, man, I don't know what I would do if I was struggling with that demon, you know? And there's a lot of respect that goes into that. I know that it's difficult to talk about sometimes, and I'm very grateful for you for sharing that journey, because it's... Here's the honest truth. We were at JLC Live a couple weeks ago, and I ran into Garrett, and we just really just had this, and Mom was there, and we're having this really nice three-way conversation, and we really can't peel away from one another. We're just like really enjoying our company. At least I was.
That's
I don't know about you, but I was.
And I was.
No, I know. I could tell. And so... then this guy comes up to us, total stranger, and I'm used to this. I'm used to just total strangers coming up to me at an event. And it's no big deal to me. I'll shake everybody's hand. Even if you're sick, I'll still shake your hand and try to clean it later with some hand sanitizer or something. But this guy came up to me, and this is where it got real for me. This guy, he goes up to Garrett and goes, "Hey, I just wanted to shake your hand because... you helped one of my guys get sober. You helped Garrett, one of his employees." And he was grateful because he kept it. He kept his employee. And he was also grateful because you shared your journey, that it helped somebody else get clean. You know?
That's what it's all about, man.
And I could see the pride in you. I was proud. I was proud of you for helping his employee, which you didn't know who they were. You've never met him. Maybe you DM'd him, or I think you did. I think he said something like that. Like, yeah, you DM'd, you replied to this guy, and it really helped kick off his journey of sobriety.
Yep.
And I don't know how you do that, because I've been sober now for like 25 years. I was getting to the point where when I would go out and drink, I liked really, I liked tequila, like not shots, but like I liked... margaritas, right? But they're so packed full of sugar, and I'm type 2 diabetic. One day, I drank so hard, I woke up with a black tongue the next day. Yeah. Damn. And that's what I said. I was like, oh, no.
Speaking another language?
Sometimes I speak Spanish,
A demonic one, perhaps?
No, man.
For a very specific audience.
Yeah.
If you get that, comment below.
But I stuck my tongue out, and I was like, I freaked me out. I shut my mouth, and my eyes went like this, and then I leaned back in, and I was like, whoa. So I brushed my, you know, I brushed my teeth and brushed my tongue, but it's the sugars were not, my triglycerides were like 800 and something.
Yep.
And I just decided, you know what? This is not good. So as I was pulling my Harley up onto the sidewalk in front of the bar, and I was doing big burnouts and smoking the bar out, and everybody's cheering me on. So it's like, it wasn't really conducive for a good thing. So I don't advocate drinking and driving. When I was 19, I did a really bad thing and got really drunk at a wedding, and then drove home, and I flipped my car and hit a telephone pole and flipped my car on its side and blew all the windows out of it and went to jail, all that stuff. So I should probably save that for the bonus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can say that if you want.
Yeah, mark that. Mark that. No, he'll mark it. He'll mark that and take it out of the standard podcast. Okay. Enough about me. This is about you. And my wife often reminds me, it's like, hey, let him talk. So
it's all good, bud.
No. So
he gets too excited.
What's that?
You get too excited and want.
Yeah, I just want to be part of it, man. I just gotta be with you on this.
You have the gift of gab.
Yeah,
to an extreme extent.
Oops.
That's why this is so easy. I tell you something and you're like, okay, for the next 30 minutes, I can talk about
it. We had a cancellation. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that again. We had a cancellation last week and Calvin and I are like, well, let's just talk about deckboard bending or something, right? So we start to talk about deckboard bending. All of a sudden, we're off on a tangent about airlines. And we talked about airlines for like 30 minutes. And it's actually really good information for anybody that travels or that wants to travel. You know, it's worth a listen. So, okay, Garrett. So now you get to the point. Let's get to the point where we're through the rigmarole. You're done. Yeah. I am done with alcohol. I'm done with this. And do you go cold turkey?
No, I went to a rehab.
You did?
30-day. Yeah.
30-day. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a love with cocaine too. So booze and cocaine. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a tough one to kick.
Yeah.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
I did, but I'm like a year and a half almost without a cigarette. I'm still using these to get a little nicotine, but
hey. That's a lot cleaner. That's a lot cleaner than a cigarette, man. Cigarettes, once you quit, this is what I've been told. Once you quit, like you can't stand the smell of them or being around it. You know, it's like ugh. Nasty.
No, this is the first time. This is the first time I quit, and I was like definitely like ready. Like I was like, I'm so done with these things. I've been smoking since I was like 17. So
I heard that quitting cigarettes is harder than quitting heroin.
It was way harder to quit than booze and cocaine for sure.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, but you went and got a 30-day treatment.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
Oh, scary, man. I was like 30. My mom and my wife brought me to it. No phone. They take your phone from you. They're like, close you in and, put you to work, bring you to AA meetings and kind of introduce you to the world of recovery. And it was great, man. I mean, I couldn't have, it saved my life. I couldn't have done it without going there. The place was awesome.
I remember some of your posts about like 3 years sober, 5 years sober, you know, and don't take this the wrong way, but yeah, like you're really giving yourself praise. I'm not going to say tooting your own horn, but you're really giving yourself praise, which, hey, I'm really proud of myself for achieving this milestone. I've got my 5-year token, you know, and I think that's amazing because now you're just counting up the years, right? Like how many years have you been sober now?
I'll be sober eight years in November, God willing.
Oh, I think he's willing, bro.
Yeah.
Eight years.
Do you feel like
you're fully over that hump now? And that, I mean, do you ever get like having a really you're having a really bad day, and does it ever cross your mind, or does it ever creep in?
No, it doesn't.
No?
It doesn't for me.
Good
but
for
I
you.
Will say, I mean, like I tell everybody, like it's not easy. Like you just have to turn your thoughts into, you know, like my mother always says, because she's like 27 years sober. You got to replay the tape. Like if when you get into a spot in life,
replay the tape.
Replay the tape, man, and be
that's
like,
a good
okay,
hashtag
look,
that's
yeah,
a good hashtag
look where,
bro
look where I was 8 years ago, and if I drank again I would lose everything I've accomplished in the last 8 years. It'd all be gone because I would be off and running like that.
And you have kids now, and you
I do.
Okay so let's get back on the path here. we're gonna finish your journey, and then we'll get into social media and all that, because you know what, a lot of these guys, okay, so some of the hottest builders in the nation that I'm asking to be on this podcast. I'm starting with all the powerhouses, right? It's like we've had Mark King, we've had Canadian Carpenter Joe, we've had Awesome Framers Tim, we've had John Lee from Deck South. We got you on here right now. And if there's anybody else I'm forgetting at the moment, forgive me. Is there somebody else? Who else did we have on there?
I feel like that's it. I feel like you've named them all.
Okay. Have you been listening?
I see your post.
Of course. Hey, that's good. You could have even fibbed on me on that one. I would have believed you, man.
Dude, I honestly don't listen to that many podcasts, so don't take offense to it.
No, I don't even listen to my own, so it's cool.
Right, yeah.
I already I'm kidding, Calvin. Of course I do. No, seriously though. When I have time, I do. Like, Usually, I'll walk into our living room, and my wife might be listening to one. So then I'll sit down next to her, and I'm like, I'll start listening because I'm like, yeah, how did this go? What is it funny? Is it not? And sometimes I forget what I say, so I was like, oh, that was pretty good, you know. Or right. the guest is saying stuff like that. Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm trying to stay on track. So you're married in a couple of years. You sober up. You're back in action.
Yep.
How does business, like, are you struggling through that? Are you doing well? Or
oh man, it took off for me. Once I got sober, I didn't work. I got out of rehab after 30 days, and I took 3 months off to focus on, you know, getting my routine in play, like how many meetings I was going to go to, and just getting my life in order. And it just took off once. But you know, I didn't have a vehicle. My truck that was a stupid expensive truck that I had got repoed while I was in rehab. So I had no truck. I had the tools I had and my dad's Toyota Venza. That's how I started back up working.
That's a car, right?
Yeah. Like a hatchback.
Okay. Well,
yeah. So I had some space.
Humble beginnings.
Yeah. So I started there, and then I made a bunch of cash, bought my first truck, and things just took off for me, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, once my mind cleared up, because you know, I stopped smoking weed, I stopped drinking, I stopped doing coke, I everything that was kind of really messing up my life and having that constant black cloud around me, and I was just able to shine, you know. And that's when my social took off.
Yep,
and
that's when your social took off, and that's when you started. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I started getting work from that because it was new. You know, there wasn't a lot of people on Instagram in Maine at that time, so I was kind of one of the only cats on there doing what I was doing, stories every day and showing my work and showing my failures and talking about my sobriety, and people just loved it.
Yeah.
And, it was great.
I think that's great. And then, yeah, 'cause then you started really expanding your craft into the exterior point of, we'll get into decks. I mean, that's why you're on here, 'cause you're a deck builder. I'm a deck builder. It's a Dr. Dex podcast. So let's talk about it. You did some really killer patterns. The house you built, I think you built it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't make a lot of comments on people's posts and stuff like that. I mean, you know, like, you get busy as you have your own business. You have the second business of an influencer, and you're trying to just put out quality content for your own page. And then you're trying to pay attention somewhat to what other people are doing, but you're not necessarily like in the movement unless something really catches you. And that's where... that's me with you, is like, I would get caught up in, wow, he just built this house. And I think my comment to you was, the garage ain't big enough, man, or something like that. And you're like, that's all I can afford. I'm like, well, I get it. I was just making a comment like, you should make a shop bigger or your garage bigger. But but then you built this deck on the back.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is like a complicated pattern. People think squares are a nice square is easy.
Yep.
And maybe a square can be, but to make a really clean, nice square, it can be just as challenging as anything else. But then Garrett has to go put in all these diamond patterns and X's and make it all like, wow. And then you throw up a drone, you're like, I'm in. That is really hot.
Yeah, and that was a cool deck.
That was a cool deck. And I see you've repurposed that a couple times on social, and I think that's smart. Yeah. It's always good to reminisce. I hardly ever do. I need to do that more. I know Tim does it a lot. And he does it so much because he has decades of content.
Right.
Like, he was generating content before social media was invented, before the internet was really around, you know? So, and he cataloged it. I'm like, dude, how?
Yeah. That's smart, man.
You know, I've had so many hard drive crashes. Like, I've lost so much content information, but
me too.
He got it all, you know? And I just blows me away how guys can do that. But, so then you built this beautiful house. You had your first kid.
Yep.
Okay.
And yeah, that was 2022. I started the house in 2020.
During COVID or?
Yeah, when prices were absolutely crazy. But thankful to social media and all my brand partners, I was able to get hooked up pretty good throughout that process.
Good for you.
And I built the house and built the deck, had the child, and then we lived in it for 2 years and moved to Florida.
Okay, let's talk about that, because that's where I was headed. It's kind of funny. I know so much about you, and it's just through the digital journey, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so what possessed, and what was your train of thought on that? Like, so, things are going really well where you were, right?
Yeah, so things were, you know, I posted about this on my deck post the other day. Like, things are such smoke and mirrors on social media, right? Like, obviously, I do try to show, like, my failures and talk and get real with people, which I think is why people like following me, because I do try to keep it real. But, like, it's such smoke and mirrors, and everybody thought everything was so great in Maine. But to be honest, man, I built my house, and that was, like, my dream from being a young buck working mm-hmm. for my uncle. Like, I mm-hmm. want to build my own house like he built his house and blah, blah, blah. And I got to do it, and it was awesome, great experience. It was a beautiful house. We loved it. But it also put me into a bracket where it got me my first custom house, and I was, like, I always wanted to build a custom house. And that custom house sucked a lot of life out of me, and I lost a lot of money on that job, which it was funny. I was just talking with a buddy yesterday, and he was like, "What was your best year in business?" And funny enough, my best year in business was the summer of COVID when I built like 17 decks. That was my best year in business, and my worst year in business was the year I built that custom house. And it just kind of, you know, I was like, I like building houses. Like, I think I want to keep doing this and just do this only. And I ended up getting some more houses lined up, but I was drained, man. And my heart wasn't in it anymore. I wasn't enjoying going to work. I was stressed out all the time. All the moving parts of building a house, which all house builders know, you got the subcontractors, you got the clients, you got the architects, you got the designers. It's the building inspectors. The building inspectors, which they loved me, so that I was good there. But I was like, you know, I was getting to a point where I was kind of like, man, what am I gonna do? Because you can't build decks all year round in Maine. I mean, I guess you could, but it would suck. And the ground's
kind of like
hard.
Washington, building in Washington year round, but not quite as cold.
Right, because I mean, we get 2 feet of frost, so like you're not digging. You're jackhammering to get through the frost line to set any, you know, piles or anything like that.
What I meant to say was it's colder where you were than where I am.
Yeah.
If that came out wrong, I apologize.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's like 2022 when I finished up that custom.
Mm-hmm.
I think I built a couple decks in between there, finished up my deck. And we ended up going, our son was born, and Megan and I left to go down to Florida to see my sister, brother-in-law, my dad. My dad lives down here too. It was our first time getting away from the child after becoming parents. So my in-laws stayed with the kid, and we got away for like a 4-day little getaway. And came to Florida, and we're like, man, it was like February. We're like, it's so beautiful down here. Like, it's just so nice. Like, you get 2 more hours of daylight in the winter, and it's warm. And my brother-in-law, just like out of his butt, said, "Hey, like, you know, I have a business opportunity for you." And I wasn't sure if he was serious, but by the end of the time we were there, he was quite serious about it. And mm-hmm. It kind of just went into my brain and thought about it. And we weighed out all the pros and cons, and we're like, "Let's see what we can, you know, get for our house, and this would start even make sense." And we ended up getting our house appraised, the one that I built, and it was a buttload of money, and it all made sense. And we said, "Let's do it." So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's so you sold the house. You moved to Florida.
Yep.
And were you back into house building then?
No. So I'm not going to talk ill of anyone. My brother-in-law and I are still fine, but he kind of had some promises, and they didn't come to fruition. And I was kind of just back to doing renovations in Florida and not really exciting work. And once again, not really liking. Now I'm in a new area, new company, mm-hmm. and I have a business partner now, so I'm not the one making the final shots. And it just was a hard, it's been a hard 2 years, man. It's been hard. And that's why I talked about this the other day. It's why I was slacking on social. I wasn't really liking what I was doing. Nothing was really exciting me.
You kind of disappeared for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I did get hacked too. I got hacked. I lost my profile for like six months. Yeah. I mean, I was at 200,000 followers. I was like 203, and I got hacked and viciously ripped apart my page and deleted followers and deleted people I was following. And, you know, I lost a lot of content, posts,
progress,
progress and a total, it was very devastating. So even when I got my page back, I was still kind of like,
we're going to talk about that in the bonus feature, because I just got hacked. Well, I got hacked last May on Facebook, and I still haven't gotten my page back.
Yeah,
and
man,
I don't think I'm going to, but we're going to talk about that, because I want to hear how you got it back. But we're not going to talk about it in this section, if that's cool with
okay.
you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So now it's 2024.
Yeah.
I guess.
2025 now.
Well, now, but what I mean is, when you came to fruition and decided, okay, I'm going to dissolve this partnership I'm in.
Yep.
And I'm coming back to Bub.
Yeah.
How in the heck?
Doesn't count.
Okay, sorry. I tried. How in the heck? Where did Bub come from? Because that's what I call you.
Yeah, a lot of people do. So in Maine, it's like a thing, like, hey, Bub. Like, it's just like a thing. Like, oh, how you doing, Bub? What's up, Bub? Like, everybody does it. And I lived in Maine, and so I just, the life of Bub, it just made sense for
it's
me.
It's a
when
thing.
I
mean, it's a cool handle. It's easy to remember. This is what I tell people when people ask about social. Man, make your handle identifiable.
Yep.
Make it easy to remember, because if I'm going to tag you in something, I'm not going to go and try to find you.
Right.
So if I don't remember what it is, if you have ABC 10934 element, whatever, forget it. Because not many people will remember that. And unless I write it down, which I hardly ever do that either, I'm going to be having a hard time finding you. So the life of Bub is easy to remember. It's a good handle to have, and I can see why you've kept it. Even if you change your business name or you have a new, you're still keeping the handle identifiable, because so many people know you through that handle, it'd be really hard to change it.
Yeah, and I keep, I always have like a separate page for work, but I just show like finished stuff on that. That's more for customers, but I do all my daily stuff on the Life Above, because it's
right
just
on.
Everybody, it's there and it's established.
Okay. Okay, so it's 2025. I mean, did you completely dissolve everything in 2024, or did that roll into this year?
No, so actually what happened was my brother-in-law and I were kind of like, okay, this isn't working out, and I don't have a license in Florida, which you have to be licensed to work in Florida. So being in partnerships, you're able to work under their license. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, okay, he's ending this, and what am I going to do? So I got linked up with another guy who I've been working with since October. And then I've just been, he wants to do renovations. And I've like, we ended up getting this huge deck job out on Boca Grande where I rebuilt those staircases out of OC lumber. And I was just on fire, man. Like, I was like excited to get to work again. I got my tool trailer all rigged up for a deck builder. And like, I was just so pumped to be doing what I was doing. And that's when I realized, I'm like, dude, I need to stop doing renovations and I need to pursue building decks, which is what I've always loved from the beginning. So like,
where are you exactly in Florida?
I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm in like Port Charlotte. It's like an hour and a half south of Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening and they need a deck built, they know who to call.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So I was like super nervous, you know, like I, in the back, like, you know, oh, I suck at tests. Like I didn't do it well in school. Like, and you have to take a test to do the license and all that. So all that was kind of playing into me not doing it. And then finally I was just like, listen, Adam, like, I think we got different visions and we need to just go separate ways. We'll finish up with the work we have and I'll get my license. And, so we got probably like 3 weeks left of a job that we're working on together while we get all of our ducks in a row and I get my license, which should be any time now.
Oh, so you've actually taken the tests and all that, and
yeah, we're gonna be a licensed contractor in Florida, man.
Congratulations!
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So your journey is still not complete, man. Like we're gonna have to have you back on in about a year. Actually, you know what? I don't. How far are you away from where IBS is gonna be in Orlando?
I'll be at IBS. I'm 2.5 hours from Orlando.
Okay, so we're talking to TimberTech right now about maybe doing this podcast in their booth in Orlando. So if we do, we'll have you back in and we can chat a little bit about how your journey's going from this point on.
Heck yeah. So
Cuz that's really cool that you've, I mean, it's almost like the circle is nearly full. You've come all the way around and you realize this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I enjoy doing for a living. This is where I become the most profitable because I'm really good at it. And yeah, man, I see the vision and I think it's amazing.
It's a needed craft here in Florida too, man. Nobody does custom stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's usually like a dock builder or like a siding guy. And they're like, yeah, I can do your deck. And they don't know what they're doing. They're just slapping stuff together. No one's like, I'm a deck builder, and I haven't met many. So, on this coast, you know, there's Tony over on Jacksonville Hall with decks and stuff, but
there's a couple guys, but yeah, it's underserviced. It's an underserviced trade, especially if you're really legit.
Yep.
You know, that's what's kind of cool about being on social media is you can really show people a lot about what and how you do it. That's why I'm so much of an educator in what I'm doing, because my clients are like, wow, I had no idea you're going to put G-tape. And as soon as I say G-tape, my eyes light up. I'm like, you're listening. You're watching, you know, because, you know, when you get people to say the trade name of the product you're using, then you know you're getting through.
Totally.
You know, so that's awesome. So, Garrett, man, that is really cool. Thank you for that. That was great stuff, man. Good journey you've had. Been up and down, speed bumps and all the whole, man, like your car is worse for wear because you had a few, you ran over a few speed bumps. You didn't even slow down, man. You just went right over them. And that's awesome. That's how I drive speed bumps too sometimes. So sometimes it hurts less when you do that, right?
Well, dude, it's like, it's just, construction is not for the, why can't I think of the word? For the faint of heart or something. I don't know, something cliche like that.
Yeah.
But it's not, man. It's a young man's game.
It's a young man's game, bro.
It's hard being self-employed.
Yeah.
It has a lot of ups and downs and a lot of stuff that you don't know. You know, you might be worried about paying your bills 1 month. And I've been there a lot in the last 2 years, even after a very good house sale up in Maine, making some money. But it's been tough. And I'm just thankful that I've been able to stay sober through it all. And,
amen. School of hard knocks.
Yeah. But I have my days, man. I don't do anything perfect. None of us are perfect. And
nobody is. Nope,
I'm just happy to be here, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm grateful for you being on our podcast, too. This is really great. Okay, so what else we got? So what are you driving right now?
I have a 2017 F250 Power Stroke 6.7 with 114,000 miles on it. Old girl's barely broken in.
Perfect.
Yeah, man.
I've got an old 2001 F350 that I can't get rid of. I went and put a bunch of motor work in it and a bad butt transmission. And
is that the deck truck, like the one with the racks on it and stuff?
Well, I have a 350, and then I bought a 550, a 2001 550, and then I still have my Isuzu cab over. It's a GMC, but that's going to get sold because insurance on a vehicle, man. Like,
yeah,
for commercial, I was like, why? I'm paying $4,000 per year per rig, you know, and I have three trucks, and that was 12 grand, and the truck isn't even worth $6,000 or $7,000, even though I have brand new tires, brand new transmission, brand new motor. It's actually a really functional and a brand new pump, hydraulic pump for the dump. And it's a great truck, and I hate to see it go, but it's just sitting in my driveway doing nothing, and I use it once or twice a year. So I'm like, you know what? We need to we dump the insurance on it just to save $4,000 for the year, and we're gonna get rid of that truck. I thought maybe I'll keep it in case I get another crew going, but that ain't gonna happen either. I'm gonna stay Dr. Dex and keep my quality at the top of the game, and only have a couple other guys going with it, you know. And and we're just gonna go from there. But yeah, so that's cool. So you're done with the car or the hatchback. And you got yourself a truck. And are you solo again now? So it's just you?
Yeah, it's going to be just me for a little while. I think Tony and I are talking about doing some collaborations together, which will be cool. But yeah, I'm going to keep it simple, man, for a little while here. And it's, you know, it's kind of not unsure times, but it's like a new business. I don't want to have too much overhead starting out. So I got a couple decks lined up already, which is great. And I got like 5 estimates out, which is also great. So it's already looking up, man. It's great.
Yep. And as soon as you get really consistent on your social and people will start finding you, start hashtagging the cities you want to work in and things like that, people are going to find you again. And like you said, word of mouth, it's just going to come through.
Dude, I'm thankful. I'll fix for like younger guys. I'm thankful I don't have a lot of debt. Like I don't have a lot of overheads. Like I don't have a truck payment. I don't have, I own my tool trailer. I own every single thing in there. I have a small mortgage on my house. So I own my wife's car. Like we're very minimalistic. So it's very nice knowing that going into a new adventure in business right now.
Right on. Well, I'm sure you'll be very successful. You were in Maine, so that'll transfer over, but you'll be able to definitely work year round without, summers might be a little rough, huh? And how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's definitely hot. You can't put in full days. You kind of show up early and work till like a little bit after lunch. I mean, ideally my goal as I keep going forward and I hopefully get successful, like I think I will, I would not like to work summers, like take summers off, you know, that would be the ideal goal and maybe go up to Maine and see family or something like that, you know?
Well, that's not hard. If you like, sometimes we book out for a full year with our work, right? Our workload. So if you can schedule the clients around like, hey, I can't work until November, then, you know, you schedule a couple months off if you can swing it and you don't have a crew that's relying on you for income, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hire somebody in to help you while you're working, you know, or something like that, that's always
kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah,
right on. Yeah, so. I've debated, you know, trying to find the right people, do the right crew, you know, have somebody that can replace me, and that's the hard part for me is trying to find that one guy that can replace me.
Yeah, so I think that's probably one of the most difficult tasks for any of us as business owners, right?
Yeah,
you're not me, damn it. I mean, dang it.
there's some guys that can handle it. And they figure it out, or they've had guys working for them for 20 years, you know. And I think that, you know, eventually I have a new guy on our team that's been here a few months, and he's really on point. And we actually got him off of another debt company, so he had the prior experience of working with another debt company, and he's been one of the best employees that I've ever had. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it really is awesome, and I'm just really hyper excited about it because I think he can turn into a really good lead man, and then maybe we get another one under him, and maybe I can finally figure this out because I'm traveling more and more and more, and that's where I'm seeing a lot of you guys, and I want to come start doing some job site crashes and things like that where I might come to town with some stuff and show up on a job site and come into a city near you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like it. I've been talking about doing the same thing, more collaboration with other deck builders. It'd be fun.
I agree. And as I get older and I can't lift tools anymore, I'll have to do stuff like that.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon. You know, I'm really looking forward to the future. You know, we started this podcast to really build more awareness around the contractors that are the top builders in the nation. And they all have a good conscience, I would say, a really good conscience about them. And they're all doing high quality work. We all have our own styles and our own ways of doing things. Everybody has a different style. Like some of these guys, man, I can't believe that they're selling $500,000, $750,000, $1 million projects with the full blown outdoor cabanas and fire and TV and stone. And man, it's just like mind boggling. I don't seem to hit those type of clients, but you know, I do a lot of funky curves and some really clean lines, and everybody's different. I'm surprised I don't do more covers around here, but I think people, you know, they only want to spend a certain amount of money, and they're kind of like, that's our max, you know.
Dude, you've done some sick ones though. That one you did like what, 5 years ago with the fire pit and the curved staircase and all that one.
Yeah.
Was insane.
Yeah. I've been blessed. You know, I call those like once in a lifetime builds, right?
Yeah.
You're lucky if you build one of those in your career.
Yeah.
And I've been building one about every 2 years lately, it seems like. And I can't say no. It's like it's really comforting to know you're going to be so, like the deck I'm on right now is one of those builds. We've been here for 3 months and we just finished laying decking, and we're getting onto stairs, and we still have all the trim set to do, and then all the curves and all the curved steps and curved benches and reverse curve tilt back benches, and it's mind numbing, but it's where I want to be in my career right now. So, yay.
Yeah.
even though I often question, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah.
Why did I choose to do this? But it's going to be amazing. So I know it's like, you just got to figure it out, right?
Right.
Sometimes you just got to figure it out.
Yeah. I just looked at a 2000 square foot monster the other day that I put it in a bid on for about 230K. And I was like staring at that estimate for a solid hour or two
before you pull the trigger on it. Yeah.
Before you send it.
Should I add 10% for everything I'm not going to think about right now?
Right.
What if that's too high? Wait a minute. What if they said no just because it was 10K too high?
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up about it, man.
I know.
But you should know. You've been in the business long enough. You kind of know where you need to be.
Yeah. No, I'm comfortable at that number. I don't think I could do. I could probably do a little less, but not much. You know.
Well, definitely be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, Garrett, Bub, I really do appreciate your time. That concludes our standard podcast segment. But stay tuned for our bonus section. If you guys want to listen to some a little more intimate details about Garrett and his journey, go to our Patreon channel and sign up. We have different tiers and levels for you, so go check that out and the description below. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that is over. Calvin, hit that music.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.